This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Y'all ready?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Incomplete, and the 49ers have won it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And it is incomplete. The Eagles win. The Eagles win.
On today's show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Complete Week 17 recap. Your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Of the Rich Eisen Show, live on Disney Plus, live on the ESPN app, and live on ESPN Radio. Hello, SiriusXM Channel 80 audience, and everybody listening out there on our podcast platform. We appreciate everybody who takes us in. However, you get your podcast all 3 hours. Overreaction Monday has already been recorded for your podcast listening or viewing on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Hope everybody had a happy and healthy and safe Christmas holiday, and we're getting ready for the new year, obviously, right around the corner. Week 17, off the charts, off the chain, almost in the books. Rams and Falcons are playing on Monday Night Football to wrap up week number 17 tonight. Kurt Warner, I called the Chargers and Texans with him on Saturday on NFL Network. I hosted NFL game day morning with him on Sunday, and now he's a guest on the Rich Eisen Show in the middle of this Monday program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a conversation with us. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rich. I am excellent.
Yes,
how are you?
Your New England Patriots are winners of the American Football Conference Eastern Division. Congratulations to you.
And all is right with the world.
And all the mass holes in concordance together. I'm happy for all of you. Good to see you over there, Mike Del Tufo. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing, Rich? I'm doing well.
You don't even know what's going on because let me just explain to people.
If you don't.
No, I'm explaining to people. Okay,
let
I'm proud of this sort of thing.
Okay.
You got a new toy over there, right? You got a new soundboard.
Yeah, we got a new soundboard. So it's everybody, you're going to hear it might be a little different. It's going to be better, but I just want to, you know, it'll be better.
It's fine. It's
great. We had a
great
crew of six of us elves that came in Christmas and worked. Well, good. I called us the six elves.
Well, I'm appreciative of you and all the elves for putting this equipment in while we were on a little bit of a television and radio break. TJ Jefferson, the candle is not lit. What's going on over there? You need one for the holidays? What is it over there? Ah, there it is. Oh, it's very fast. I couldn't see
the sticker on the laptop. The candle is lit.
Yes, we've got right stickers
there.
Now.
Hey,
stickers.
Oh,
soundboard and stickers and you. 844-204-RICH.
What up, baby?
Being the number to dial. All right, let's get into this.
Yeah.
I feel like I come on the air here every week now in December saying that was the game of the year. Right? Rams and the Seahawks. That was the game of the year.
At that moment, it was.
Packers and Bears.
Oh, my.
Part two. That was the game of the year.
Sure, you're right.
Then, you know, came last night. Off of, by the way, a Bills-Eagles game that we're going to discuss in the middle of this first hour that looked as if it was a pedestrian type of feel to it with a playoff covering on it until the final throws of that game put it into can't miss, this is classic, unbelievable, can't believe what I'm seeing type football.
Mother Nature had a little to do with that.
That's true. And then comes Sunday night. The 49ers and the Bears. Two teams coming into this campaign, coming into this season with last place schedules, because everybody's thinking, okay, last year, you know, Packers made it, Vikings made it, Lions made it. Good luck to Ben Johnson and these Bears to do anything in their first year together with Caleb Williams. And then the 49ers last year, they were particularly troubled as a franchise. And then this 49ers team losing Nick Bosa, a defensive player of the year. Fred Warner, another defensive player of the year type player. They lose George Kittle for four games and then last night, so about a quarter of the season. They lost Brock Purdy for a third of the season. They lost Ricky Pearsall for half the season. Brandon Ayuk is best known this year for speeding past the field of genes and recording it more than what he does with his own speed because of injuries and whatever the hell's going on with this team. Not a single snap from Brandon Ayuk this year. This team, this 49ers team, for a fan base that is out of their skulls in terms of their rabidness, their love of this team, they're waiting for this team to win a Super Bowl championship longer. I'll do this for you, TJ.
Thank you.
Then Cowboys fans have been waiting for their team to get back to the NFC championship game. That's how long it's been for the 49ers to win a Super Bowl. Obviously, they've made it back and had Mahomes standing in their way. And last night, they had a second coming of Mahomes standing in their way. Even, as you know, Chris Collinsworth could not resist mentioning Patrick Mahomes watching Caleb Williams do what he's doing last night. But guess what the 49ers have? Guess who the 49ers have? They got themselves Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Shanahan. Together, one of the best play-calling quarterback-running back combinations in the National Football League, if not the best. I just said those words. Because, again, these 49ers doing what they are doing without the players that they have or without the players they haven't had to be on the precipice of not having to pack a bag for the rest of this year until perhaps they take a post-Super Bowl parade vacation with their families. The home of Super Bowl 60 is the home of the 49ers. And who thought coming into this season it would be possible for the Niners to play in that game? Who thought it would be possible in week 17 prior to week one, prior to when the schedule's coming out, that it would be possible for the 49ers to play in this game? Legit possible. You did? You keep pointing yourself over there.
Remember I had seven teams?
To win the Super Bowl.
That I thought could win and...
Okay, so you would. I guess that's a figurative speech then. You threw them in there with a bunch of others. What they are doing right now is beyond impressive. And what they did last night, Brock Purdy, his first throw picked off for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. First time in a couple of years since Alex Highsmith picked off Deshaun Watson to start a game. That's been a couple years since a pick six started a football game. And all the Niners did was just put their foot in the ground and keep scoring and scoring and scoring. And at the end of the day, a defense that couldn't stop the other team together with this team, resilient, wins the football game, similar to one, if I have to make a Mahomes reference, to the Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Monday Night Football 54-51 final. This had that feel to it. Whoever gets the ball last is going to win the game. Whoever doesn't score a touchdown is going to lose the game. I mean, the 49ers, talk about resilient, they actually had a punt for the first time all month last night.
That's crazy.
Tommy Townsend was running down the field like he was, you know, Rudy on amphetamines.
He had a lot of aggression penalty.
He was just running down the field like the wind. Can't believe he's actually following up a punt and dapping up his teammates after he actually was allowed a punt.
Guys, I'm in the game.
Rudy on amphetamines.
I did say those words. And Brock Purdy, this is amazing. Just one more time, just to say what a part of it, Thomas Morton said, not Tommy. I'm mixing up the people who I called a game watching punt on Saturday. Thomas Morstead, pardon me. Thank you for that. Mike Hoskins getting in my ear. You could play the slow Sports Center music because I just had that moment of screwing up. Listen, Brock Purdy doing what he's doing now because, again, he missed a third of the season. This is also part and parcel in this day and age where a guy like Mac Jones comes in and performs as well as he has, and everybody's like, well, why aren't we just playing him? Why aren't we just using him as our starting quarterback? Just take a look at what's going on in Green Bay right now. Malik Willis didn't even win the game Saturday night.
I know, and they're just like...
All right, so that's the way things go in this world. But Purdy's showing off why, yes, he should be the starter in San Francisco, and yes, he's worth what he got paid this offseason. Last night, Brock Purdy became the sixth player in the Super Bowl era with five or more offensive touchdowns in consecutive games. Yeah, short week. San Francisco on Monday night, week 16. He had five touchdowns. Last guy to do that in back-to-back games, Russell Wilson in 2020. First player in the history of the San Francisco 49ers. Did you hear what I just said?
History.
Thank you. Of the 49ers.
History of the 49ers.
Five-time Super Bowl champion.
A lot of MVP. And
Montana.
Hall of Fame.
And Young, to name two.
Jeff Garcia.
300 or more passing yards, three or more passing touchdowns, and two or more rushing touchdowns in a game.
Elvis
Nobody's
Kerbach.
Ever done it. Oh, you can even throw Kaepernick out there too, sir.
He's going to be next.
And how about this one? Over the last 40 seasons, there's only one other quarterback with three or more passing touchdowns and two or more rushing touchdowns in a primetime game. And it's somebody you wouldn't equate with Brock Purdy. His name is Michael Vick. Brock Purdy had a Michael Vick game on Sunday night.
Kind of did.
And this is when Kyle Shanahan, who, as you know, throws around a lot of compliments like manhole covers on time to time, certainly when it comes to quarterbacks, had this to say about Brock Purdy when last night he did what he did against a red-hot quarterback and offense in Chicago's.
I thought Brock had a hell of a game. Again, Brock's been playing his ass off, made some huge plays in this game, kept some drives alive with his legs, made some off-schedule plays, and was an assassin out there throughout the whole day.
You've seen Brock play some really good games over the years, but have you seen a stretch like this? Is this as good as he's ever been right now?
I don't know. I'm not the best historian. I feel like he's had some good stretches. I mean, especially going back 23 and 22. But, I mean, he's playing as good as it gets right now.
Well, I'll give you the history, Kyle. Purdy's third straight season now with 20 or more passing touchdowns. Only Steve Young has a longer such streak in the history of the San Francisco 49ers. So that's the totality of Purdy's run right now. And I gave you what he just did in terms of back-to-back games in the short term. And that play he made where he ran around for 8 seconds and it looked like he was going to maybe try to run it in and he pulled up stakes and threw it to Juszczyk.
Yep.
Was one of those moments where we as a collective nation watching it on NBC probably cursed on the couch. Holy S.
Yeah, especially when you're playing them in the fantasy championship.
Okay. Yep. Brock Purdy. And then he does his dance. As well, you should, Brock. Hit it.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a bootleg and just one of those things where the defense sort of did a good job covering it and just tried to make a play, keep the play alive. And then obviously when I cut back in, you know, defenses tend to, you know, go into in cuts on scrambles. So just trying to keep the play alive and saw juice in the corner. So it was cool that he had his antenna up too right there in that moment. And obviously he scored and you just try to give the team momentum and celebrate. So it was a cool play.
And then it helps to have a Hall of Famer in Christian McCaffrey. I said it weeks ago. I'll say it again. That's a Hall of Fame running back. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I know I sound angry.
Okay. Yeah. No one's pushing back.
Okay.
Well, we did.
You did a few weeks ago.
1,000%.
He had a season high 140 rushing yards. He joins LaDainian Tomlinson as the only players in NFL history to have three seasons with 2,000 or more scrimmage yards and 15 or more touchdowns now. Eighth player in the history of the NFL to have three seasons with 2,000 or more scrimmage yards. The only ones with more are Marshall, Eric Dickerson, and Walter Payton. This guy is unbelievable. When he comes out of the game, you're like, why? And then you see him breathing heavily on the sideline. Like, oh, that's right. He's had 90 million touches tonight.
400 on this.
There was one moment in the game on a Monday nighter against Indianapolis where he comes out of the game inside the 5-yard line. And you saw Shanahan sort of shaking his head on the sideline. And I knew exactly what was happening. I've said it to Cooper as I'm sitting next to him. I'm like, he can't believe McCaffrey's coming out of the game right now. You know what Shanahan did?
Called timeout.
He did. Do you know what happened after the timeout?
McCaffrey scored a
touchdown. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey. That's why you have him. You trade for somebody like him. The Eagles with Saquon Barkley. I can't believe the Panthers decided years ago, let's just flip him to San Francisco. Well, that's for another day. This day, San Francisco wakes up with a shot at the one seed in a campaign that ends in their own house. That's a fact. And on top of it, what you love to do is stick it to your rivals. That win eliminated the Rams from the one seed. The Rams are going to be a wild card team. How tough of a loss was that in the previous game of the year against Seattle? So San Francisco, despite losing everybody, despite having so much go against them, is a one seed possibility. To the point where all they've got to do is win one game at home and they stay at home for the rest of a playoff campaign that ends in their home. Take the luggage and put it in the basement. Holy cow. And it's in the toughest division in the NFL. I just mentioned the Rams are eliminated from the division in the one seed. They're playing for their 12th win tonight. They could be a third place, 13-win team. That's what the Niners are doing. Can't rave about them enough. Now then, let's talk about the Bears. Let me tell you, Bears fans, I know you're feeling hurt today. Living on the edge of your seat last night, watching your team come back again, watching your team come up short by mere feet, just a handful of yards to a team. I just spent the first 10 minutes lauding the first entire, almost the entirety of our first segment, praising the 49ers for doing what they're doing and having a shot at the one seed when nobody expected. And the Bears' shot at the one seed is now in peril. Out the window without help. And the Bears are going to be the 2 seed, right? And I know it hurts, but I will just tell you this. You're good. You're more than good. You're in a great spot. Coming into this season, you're thinking, did we get the right coach? Is he really going to be able to do anything with Caleb? Is he going to be able to turn him around? Because I think he might be a bust. Look what he did last year. Oh, absolutely. I know you just gave me this look on my off camera. Yeah. I spoke to some Bears fans who were thinking, did we get the wrong guy? Jaden Daniels just had his unicorn season. Caleb was lost, looking lost. This franchise, you learn in the middle of Ben Johnson being hired to the first snap of the season, you hear they were so in disarray that they didn't even tell Caleb how to watch film last year. The front office was letting that go down, and the Bears fans were all wondering, what the hell is happening around here? Can we actually take the Lions offensive coordinator and wind up better than the Lions? And then when they started 0-2 after having a 50-burger thrown on them by the Lions, sitting there saying, did we get the wrong guy? Is he Fugazi? Did he really have anything to do with that offense in Detroit? That just put a 50-burger on us. We just blew it to J.J. McCarthy at home on Monday Night Football. Is the new defensive coordinator worth a damn? I mean, these were questions just 2 weeks into the season, let alone throughout the offseason. And now we watch them go toe-to-toe with the team that could be the first seed in the NFC playoffs, and if not, a clear threat to win the Super Bowl anyway. Toe-to-toe with them. And in this day and age, where it may turn out to be the most important individual on your sideline is the play caller. Obviously, it's a quarterback-driven league. You need to have somebody who is the executor, the avatar of the philosophy writ large of the team and the play caller. But you need to have somebody on the sidelines who can look at Kyle Shanahan and say, I'm dialing something up against your defense. I know what you've just done. I know it's 7-7, then it's 14-14, then it's 21-21, then it's 28-28, then it's 35-35. By the way, I'm not exaggerating.
No.
That's what happened last night.
That's what happened.
Okay. That you do yours, I'll do mine. You try and stop mine because I'm coming for you after you get yours. The Bears have that. Whoever thought the Bears would have that? Whenever you're talking about a cool quarterback, you're talking about Jim McMahon, right? Or a cold quarterback, you're talking about Jay Cutler because he's staring at you saying, get the hell out of here. I don't want to talk to you. You got a cool customer. You got Caleb Williams, who in just his first year with Ben Johnson is one of the best I've seen at throwing off platform, throwing against the grain of his body. Now, he's still missing some wide open shots. That's going to be fixed. It's only a matter of time.
The tools are all there.
Till that's out of his game. Only a matter of time. The run game is ingenious and stout.
Swift, my young guy.
Another question that folks had in Chicago is Poles the right guy? Ryan Poles, the GM. You know, he's choosing some interesting. Why is he trading for Montez Sweat in the middle of a season that's already lost a couple years ago? You know, why is he doing that? Can he shop for the right groceries? Yes, yes, and yes. All of it. Oh, my God. And you could say it's not the future is bright. The future could potentially be now. You're going to be the 2 seed. By the way, taking on the Packers part 3. Holy crap. You want to talk about a wild card possibility.
But
again, that's for another day. And then just this exchange here with the media last night between the coach and the media and the quarterback and the media about the same play, the final play, you know, where it was wild. The Bears pulled out of their bag of tricks the same play that the Bills pulled out of their bag of tricks on the 4th down in the final drive of the regulation against the Eagles, where it was a quick pass and then a flip to a running back for a 1st down. They tried that with no timeouts left. Talk about aggressive.
Crazy.
No timeouts left. They pulled that one out of their bag of tricks.
Love it.
And it went for a 1st down, but not for a touchdown. They had to get up and clock it and then call the play. One shot to win it. And it didn't go their way. You could see from jump that it was going to be Caleb having to pull a rabbit out of the hat, that whatever they were scheming up wasn't open. And then he wound up hopping it to Luther Burden, who had an incredible game in the end zone.
Luther, beast of Burden.
But listen to the exchange with the head coach, Ben Johnson, afterwards on this play.
In the final play, what is kind of supposed to happen if everything worked ugly?
Yeah, we didn't quite get aligned in the formation we wanted to. It's on me. I didn't give him the call fast enough, and so he's trying to piecemeal it together. I got to do a better job on that.
So he takes the hit. It was me on the play call. Me on the play call. So now the quarterback's going to step to the same podium, be asked the same question. How's he? If it is on Ben Johnson, how is the quarterback going to handle that?
I think I have an idea.
How is he going to handle that? Hit it.
We ended up getting lined up with not much time, and we were slightly lined up wrong, and so didn't have enough time to be able to fix it, having emotion and things like that, and so you know, we just had to try and make something out of nothing in that situation, and then you know, we had a shot, you know, with all of that going on, time running down, you know, us missing line and things like that, we had a shot. And, you know, just got to give my guys a shot in that situation. I think I haven't obviously gone back and watched it yet, but I think I'd end up dirting the ball. Didn't get my legs into it. You know, just put the ball in the end zone in that moment. And, if it's a pick or incomplete at that point, then, you know, but can't dirt the ball.
He takes responsibility. talking about how we weren't, you know, we were lined up late.
Yeah.
Doesn't say the play call came in late. The coach and the quarterback together for this team, they are going to be a problem for a long time, and that long time could start in 2 weeks. Bears fans, you've got to be ecstatic out of your skulls at what you're seeing. Because I didn't even mention the defense that keeps taking the ball away, too. They could absolutely win the Super Bowl this year. No question about it. A game like that can stick in their craws and be something as they use as a rallying cry. Period. End of story. What a game on Sunday night. Two teams that can win the Super Bowl. That would be an incredible NFC Championship game. We'd be talking about that game for years. Oh, my God.
A great game, man.
The Bears have got a top-notch play caller, a top-notch running game, a top-notch quarterback, some top-notch receiver. They didn't even have Rome Odunze in that game.
Oh, right.
And Zaccheaus, he was sick. He didn't play. Defensively, they took a ball away and still couldn't win the game because the Niners are just so on tilt offensively. Without Kittle, holy crap, what a game. Worthy of starting the show 25 minutes in. Let's take our first break. We'll talk Bills and Eagles. Still to come also, Steelers-Ravens. Oh, my God. The Steelers couldn't pull it off in Cleveland. But, hey, at least Miles didn't get the sack record against him, right? It's coming up. Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off, and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message. Because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. This message is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. As the holiday season rolls around, we know that you strive to do everything you can to bring cheer and joy to your loved ones. And as a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we understand that every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 with Navy Federal's Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. But the giving doesn't stop there. You could also earn up to 2% unlimited cash back with these cards. So saving up for whatever the season brings just got a little easier. Give joy. Get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
ESPN Radio, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your calls. Bills, Eagles. Listen, I'll be honest with you. Halfway through that second half, I'm texting with Jake Cope, Rich Eisen Show social media, sorry, Grandmaster. Yeah. That's not your role anymore.
I'm saying, though.
You've graduated.
But, like, I came up with that.
Now, Jake, all the reels that you see, you know, on our Instagram.
There's no way Jake has seen Game of Thrones.
Yeah, come on.
Jake's
the Grandmaster.
He's young enough. He's young enough.
Yeah.
He's young enough be known. At any rate, long story short, Jake's an Eagles fan. I text him. I'm like, you know what? You should put together a little montage of all the times I've said on the Rich Eisen Show or in my office, having instant reactions to Eagles losses in their three-game losing streak, telling Eagles fans to relax. Relax. Because yesterday, after get-right games against the Raiders and the Commanders, they go into a, what would you say, a weather slash football caldron in Highmark Stadium.
It was ugly.
And perform way better in the elements than the home team and take a 13-0 lead. And I'm feeling it. Because, you know, out of everything else around here, I like being right the most.
You've mentioned that before.
And I'm telling Eagles fans to relax again by using previous moments when I told Eagles fans to relax. Mm-hmm. I thought I would kind of have that in my back pocket. Well, right around the top of the fourth quarter, when the Bills started gaining some momentum and yards, and the Eagles still hadn't had a completed pass since the second quarter, I text Jake these three words. Hold that edit.
Hold.
Hold. Hold that edit.
Hold.
Hold the edit. And the Bills scored a touchdown, finally, against an Eagles defense that was all over the place, right? They were all on top of Josh Allen. That moment where Josh Allen took a sack on third down to get him out of field goal range.
Yeah, he must have ran, what, 20 yards backwards.
Fox did a great job with that. They came back from commercial break with Tom Brady expertly breaking down why that third down play got blown up. They had a man beater on a defense that looked like it was going to be man, and then they play zone, and it's covered, and Josh Allen takes the sack, and Jalen Carter gets him down back by the midfield logo, and then they cut to a split-screen reaction of Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator of the Eagles, celebrating on the left, and Joe Brady, the OC of the Bills, on the right, basically cursing at the world. That was great. What a moment that was. And I'm like, this is just not going to be the Bills' day. They score a touchdown. And then Jalen Carter somehow, some way, gets off the ground so significant. He's a freakish athlete.
Yeah. How did he fall to the Eagles?
Well, you know, there's some flags involved in that. Well. He somehow blocks Michael Badgley's extra point. Makes it 13-6. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, that's not that bad. Now they can't win the game with another touchdown unless they, you know, go for two.
Utah, give me two.
And that's what happened because the Eagles did not complete a pass in the second half of this football game, period, at all.
Insane.
0 points, full Blutarski in terms of passing yards in the second half. Nothing.
How's that possible?
I watched it with my own two eyes, and Eagles fans will tell you it's the offense.
0.0.
While the Bills got the ball back. And I don't know how much this drive, this final drive for the Bills, may be the most I've second-guessed any play snap-to-snap all season long. You know what I mean? Like, that was something, watching this drive. When they're right before the 2-minute warning, run the ball. And I'm like, running the ball deep in your own end when you're down by 7 and you haven't really done a lick on offense, that's the luxury people have when you don't want to give the ball back to another team with too much time left on the clock. You're not in that position to just let it go down to the 2-minute warning. So that second down play leads to a third down play where for some reason he throws it out wide to Ty Johnson on the right and allows this Eagles defense to go sideline to sideline. What are we doing? And I'm like, I like this third down play way less than I love the second down play, which I didn't love at all. And then the fourth down play where he throws it to Shakir and flips it to, was it Johnson? On a little hook and lateral for a first down, I'm like, okay, now that's it. I was second-guessing one snap, loving that snap. And then he finds Brandon Cooks so damn far down the middle. I'm like thinking this now you can start taking time off the clock, which they did. And then they score a touchdown to Dawson Knox until it wasn't. Holy cap. Holy crap. They down at the 1.5 yard line. Now you just got to shove it in the end zone, which is what they did. And now what do you do? I didn't like the choice of going for two. Now, listen, Josh Allen is clearly not healthy. One. Two, you've got no faith in your kicker who's missed two kicks already. So what do you do? Do you go with, you have your three choices if you're the head coach. You go with your all-world injured or hurt, if you will, run a quarterback in the elements, one shot to win it or lose it. You go with the place kicker in the elements, one shot to tie it or lose it. Or do you go in overtime against an offense in the Philadelphia Eagles who haven't gotten a completed pass in a half? I would have chosen that option.
Hmm.
I would have chosen it because that's what I chose before. And then I saw the, I guess this is the hook 'em horns is the symbol in the National Football League to go for two.
Go for two.
Okay. They do. Obviously, the dialed up play was that was there. And of all things, Josh Allen missed the throw. Here was the coach afterwards.
Wanted to be aggressive, going for the win. You know, we feel like, you know, only a certain amount of time left at that point, and felt like we had a great call, great opportunity to go win it, and I'm going to be aggressive, so I'm not going to sit back.
Did having the kick blocked earlier impact your decision-making?
Potentially. It wasn't everything, but you know, I trust Josh Allen with the ball in his hands, and I'd do it over again.
Okay. Hey, I can't fault his thinking. Can you? I can't fault his thinking. And again, I said it before the play call, which was there. And then Josh Allen, of all people, couldn't execute it. And the Bills wind up 1 2-point conversion shy from forcing the issue to win the division to week 18. So, you know, I don't have an answer other than the fact of the Bills are going to be a tough out. If I'm the Bills, I understand next week could possibly be the last game in the old stadium. But sitting Josh Allen and letting Trubisky handle week 18 against the Jets, maybe you give Josh a series so he could just wave to everybody. I don't know. Does that matter? Having him healthy for a first-round visit to Jacksonville or a first-round visit to New England 100% trumps all that. Certainly since he is definitely going to want to play, I imagine. Listen to how he sounded after the game yesterday.
They had a good defense. That's the defending Super Bowl champs for a reason. You know, they had a good plan. They get paid on that side of the football, too, so... Again, it just comes down to us executing, making one more play than they did, and obviously we saw that we didn't make that last play. I didn't make that last play, so, yeah.
Get ready for Jacksonville, which I think is going to be the AFC South winner. All they got to do is beat Tennessee, and they host whoever is going to be the sixth seed, most likely. Or get ready for New England. Or Denver. Could be either one of those. And you better be spry about for all of them. So, it stinks. That was a tough way to go out, you know, against the Eagles. A measuring stick game. But bottom line is both of these teams are looking a little flawed going into the next season. And the Eagles at least are going to be home. The Bills are going to have to be on the road. And if they are the seventh seed, then next week's game is going to be the final game in the old stadium. But the fact is you want to have a parade outside that old stadium. And the best way to do that is make sure Josh Allen is healthy. Certainly if you're going to, you know, utilize him in every possible way, because outside of James Cook, I'm looking around for a playmaker on offense. Yep, and
exactly,
you know, Brandon Cooks coming up with a 100-yard game for his sixth different franchise, which is tied for an NFL record, may just be the guy. We'll see. That'd be ironic if Brandon Cooks goes into New England and helps the Bills move on. But that's for, again, another day. We will take a break, come back, and talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers' loss in Cleveland, opening things up for the final game of the regular season, win-or-go-home AFC North Championship game.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Are going home to win a game against a team that's at 500 to win the division and host a playoff game. If I told Steelers fans going into the season that was going to happen with Aaron Rodgers, their quarterback, they'd have signed for it. I think they'd have been like, oh, what happened again? We were blowing it at the end of the season, losing against a team with three or fewer wins. And I'd be like, yeah, because that's what happened again. The Steelers going into Cleveland, three wins. Stop me if you've heard this before. As a matter of fact, they're 0-4-1 now in their last five games, the Pittsburgh Steelers, against teams that have three or fewer wins this late in the season. It's happened before, and it's happening again. This time around, though, they don't have their top wide receiver because he decided to lay hands on a dude with blue hair barking at him, even though they have a history together. I mean, I'm wondering, DK Metcalf is watching this guy's press conference saying, I cost two games because of that guy.
Yeah, that, I mean,
and the way that I handle my business with that guy, or he's sitting there thinking unfair treatment. I don't know. Bottom line is he's not going to be there next week against the Ravens. We're coming in with Derrick Henry coming off of a 36-carry, 216-yard, four-touchdown performance against the Green Bay Packers. And that's not an exaggeration. And all they had yesterday on offense, it felt, against a stout Browns defense, be very straight up with you, we all know how good they are. Myles Garrett's defensive player of the year, looking for the sack record yesterday. And all it looked like was they had was, let's try and back shoulder our way through it. Because two things. One, Rodgers is outstanding at the back shoulder throw. And two, I got to get rid of it because Myles Garrett is all over me. Mm-hmm. And the last thing that I think Rodgers and the Steelers really wanted, in all honesty, this is TJ Watt's record that's at stake here. And the last thing they wanted is to have Garrett get the record, breaking TJ Watt's record against the Steelers. That is stuff that they just don't want to have. And I'm sure Rodgers was using that as a shoulder chip. But, you know, at the same time,
there's bigger things.
I know.
You know, and Jake said it in one group chat. I said it earlier in my fantasy chat. It's like they were playing like that was the most important thing, was to stop him from getting this record.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get it. And Myles Garrett, after the game, flat out said it, hit it.
To an extent, I feel like they were more worried about keeping me away from Aaron than, you know, getting the win. And I think that's what came back to bite them. So, you know, they'll have to, you know, fight it out with Baltimore next week. But I'm just proud of the guys for fighting and getting this win. That's the main thing, and I'm always going to keep it that.
Wow, what a verbal grenade to lob into the Pittsburgh locker room after you upset their apple cart and force an AFC North championship game in their house. That's going to be the last game of the regular season. Mike Tomlin had this to say about that comment.
Mike, was there too much focus or emphasis on keeping Myles Garrett from that sack record? Did you feel that from your offense at all?
We didn't do anything against Myles that we don't normally do against Myles. The sack record's irrelevant. We got to minimize him if we want to engineer victory. We did the same thing last time we played him. I didn't think he had any sacks in that game either. And so we didn't take a different approach because of the gravity of the record. It's just standard business when you play in these guys and him.
It makes sense. I mean, you're going to account for 95.
Yeah,
but what a grenade for him to lob in. And now, as he said, they've got to fight it out with the Ravens next week. This is what Aaron Rodgers had to say about that contest.
You talked about something you wanted to bounce back from the
quarterback, you guys have kind of already done that once you have seen the person in the game. Does that make it a little bit easier to have confidence in your ability to win the game?
I have full confidence we'll go home and win next week.
I don't know how many others share that sentiment in Western Pennsylvania right now. At least none of my Steeler friends do, right? But it is all on the line. No DK Metcalf's 100% makes this team different. And then Darnell Washington broke his arm.
Yeah. Jeez.
I'm wondering if they could cast that up and see if he'll play. I have no idea.
I'm surprised he feels pain.
That's a good one.
I'd say he'll probably do it. But the Metcalf thing, just, man.
He's got to be just staring into space saying, the guy with the blue hair with that crazy press conference, that's the guy who's going to basically cost it? Unreal.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.